Today on Doomed! Happy Pride Month to all of the wonderful members of the Doomed crew who are part of the LGBT community. And even if you don't listen to the show usually, happy Pride Month to you too. But if you're a straight dude or straight gal watching the show and wondering, where's my month? Where's my straight pride parade? Well, first of all, I'd like to ask you how you discovered this show. And second off, I've got a show for you actually today. Because a straight pride parade is being put together in the city of Boston. You might have heard of it. It's gone viral online. And if you hadn't already heard of this as well, and maybe you could probably guess it, the people behind it are far-right extremists. Figures, right? And joining us on the show is Peter Berard and Kitty Pride of Boston DSA, organizers with the Solidarity Against Hate counter-protest to the Straight Pride Parade. Peter, Kitty, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, thanks.
Now, let's pretty much start with this. What is this straight pride parade that's being put together in Boston?
Oh, man. You want to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. So what it is it's... a lot of people have been making jokes about, you know, the straight pride parade, like jokes about cargo shorts or whatever, but what it is it's a rebranding attempt by a far-right group called Resist Marxism that has been around. They formally started in November 2017. They've run lots of rallies and attempts to disrupt liberal and leftist events since then. Their predecessor was Boston Free Speech, which works closely with them still. So yeah, it's the name of the rebrand group is Super Happy Fun America. That's the group that's technically putting on the Street Pride Parade. Like if you go to their Facebook page, that's what it's called. But it's just a rebrand of Resist Marxism. Like, it's some of those leaders. There are even links on the Straight Pride Parade website where the links are broken and I think going where they weren't intended to go, and they actually end up at the website for the original Resist Marxism rally in November of 2017.
So for people who aren't familiar, though, can you go further into who is this group Resist Marxism? They sound swell.
Well, they're sort of the primary far-right umbrella group in New England. They were technically founded by Kyle-based stickman Chapman, who's come to some of their events, but he's mostly based on the West Coast, so he doesn't come to everything. You can see it as kind of a regrouping of the New England far right after the huge defeat in August 2017 when the white supremacy organizers led a rally that wound up having, you know, 45,000 people or so to counter Boston Free Speech's event in the immediate aftermath of the violence in Charlottesville. So there's sort of, they're kind of what came after that. And they have a substantial meme presence. They've been described before as a meme page with a street crew, essentially.
Man, that actually describes so many of these like new far right groups, doesn't it?
Yep. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So they're sort of like, I guess, you know, I would say in like probably peaked in like 2017, 2018, those like Patriot prayer groups, all that stuff that was happening on the West Coast with like the Berkeley protests. So they're like one of those type groups, especially with frigging Kyle Chapman involved.
Yeah, and that's a really good insight. I'm glad that you brought up Patriot Prayer because they were pretty explicitly intended to follow the model of Patriot Prayer of gaining like power in the street through rallies and then being able to provide a structure to which like other fascist groups could come. And one pretty conspicuous piece of evidence of that is that Resist Marxism was originally a coalition of existing fascist and far-right groups, and one of their coalition members was Patriot Prayer, and Joey Gibson and Tiny, his former Proud Boy bodyguard, were at the original Resist Marxism rally in November 2017, and Resist Marxism people have gone to like Patriot Prayer and Proud Boys rallies in Portland, and then also in October of last year, Resist Marxism had a rally in Providence that Joey and Tiny flew out here and came to, and Tiny was leading a Proud Boy quote-unquote security squad that started attacking counter-protesters, and the resulting fighting escalated to a degree that police just cleared the entire area and told everyone, including the Resist Marxism rally, that they had to leave. And so that there's like a long history of social and practical connection between the Resist Marxism people and these like West Coast fascist groups.
Right. And I'm sorry, but so many times when you were talking right there, I kept going back to that this guy's name is Tiny in my head. Like, that's what he goes by. So these groups have that connection on the West Coast. And let's go a little bit more actually into, to me, the figure that you mentioned that brings it all together with those groups is Kyle Chapman. Now, I've talked about him on the show before, but for people who are maybe just tuning in for the first time or just aren't familiar with the Bass Stick Man, stupidest name I've ever heard in my life. Who is Kyle Chapman? Let's give a little bit of a background of who this guy basically is.
You can do this one, Kitty.
Sure, although feel free to add something. Kyle Chapman is this guy out in the Berkeley area who was going to, who became famous, I would say, in early and mid 2017 during the big like fascist rallies in Berkeley that were going on. And he got the name Bass Stick Man for a famous viral photograph of him hitting someone with a stick, basically. Like, there's nothing more complicated than that.
Right.
But he became famous for hitting people with leaded sticks and has, at this point, incurred enough criminal charges of various sorts that he hasn't been able to come out here for a while just because his legal troubles, I think, have prevented him from doing that kind of traveling. But he was a speaker at the first Boston Free Speech rally back in May 2017, with Boston Free Speech having been kind of the predecessor umbrella group that has sort of changed in character a bit since then. But that first Boston Free Speech rally happened after one of those big Berkeley brawls, where then they were explicitly saying in the streets, they were listing cities that were going to be next, and Boston was on that list. And then not very long later, first Boston Free Speech rally happened in May 2017 at Boston Common, and Kyle Chapman was there, I remember him like yelling about low energy or something like that at us. And then, you know, I think he might have been supposed to be a speaker at the ill-fated August 2017 rally also, but then, you know, November, once Resist Marxism came around, he was the founder, like, he was explicitly the founder of Resist Marxism, although being 3,000 miles away, not really able to do day-to-day work on the ground.
Yeah, practically speaking, more of a figurehead, symbolic figure, kind of shows the liabilities of the leadership model based on who goes viral for hitting people and who doesn't. So, you know.
Right, right. That's actually a really great point. I mean, and, you know, could give, you know, struggle to think of anything positive to say about the far right, but you could definitely never give them props for being original with the name Base Stickman. I mean, but one thing that's interesting to me about, you know, Kyle Chapman and all those groups that sort of on the West Coast that he showed up at and sort of made him famous is, you know, they've all sort of just not disappeared, but they lost any sort of, I guess, strength or ground they were gaining. Like, they sort of willowed away at some point and are just a shadow of their former selves, you know?
I mean, I think that's somewhat true, but and some of that has been due to things like infighting on their part and like the big friend breakup between Joey and Tiny and others. And it's also, of course, been due to the work of anti-fascists out there, but there are still, like, I know there's a big Proud Boys rally supposed to be happening in Portland on June 29th, and that, for instance, there was stuff like on May Day this year, the Patriot Prayer attack on a May Day party at a leftist bar, so I do think that those groups have become a lot more fragmented and have started losing ground, but I also do think that at least to some degree, some of them are still like reasonably significant threats.
Right. No, for sure. I don't want to get too ahead of myself here, but I'm going to lay this out now. I sort of think the thinking behind the straight pride parade from their point of view is they realize they've tapped the entire, you know, far-right personality market. Everyone on the far-right knows about these groups, knows about these figures, and they're now deciding that, hey, you know, let's think about all the different things that everyday people who, you know, aren't paying attention to this sort of stuff, things that, you know, the like a jock might something that might speak to just your generic jock or something like that. Someone who isn't too political, per se. I've heard people all the time on Facebook or other social media platforms who I would say really have no political affiliation and probably don't pay much attention to politics say stupid things like, you know, why isn't there a straight pride month? And, you know, I think they view this maybe as, hey, maybe we can bring these people on board and open their eyes to who we are and what we do and possibly get them into our groups.
I think that attributes more strategic thought than necessarily went into this. Because I think that the people doing the organizing, and I'm not trying to be facetious here, are those Facebook people who say, well, why isn't there straight Pride Month? Yeah, I think that they mean it more or less, and that they based their actions on that, especially given that what they've been doing hasn't been working. So I think it would have been smart if they had been thinking strategically, like you're saying. I'm not sure that they did accept ex post facto.
Right. I guess the problem with the far right is that all the smart strategists and organizers are leftists. I mean, that's where.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but once you get that it gets into silly season sometimes with Resist Marxism. There's this sort of combination of silliness and menace that you have to try to keep in mind.
So let's talk more about these specific guys now who are involved with this straight pride parade and putting it together. Because there's, like you just mentioned, there's some real, I guess, winners is a really nice, sarcastic way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess we could start with this guy, John Hugo.
Yeah, he's a relatively newer figure on their scene, I think. He's actually a would-be Republican politician. He ran as the Republican nominee for Congress in Catherine Clark's district. And he was not successful, and I mean, he also was always a no-hoper. Like, that's a very Democratic district. But I do recall that Resist Marxism had a rally for him during his campaign out in Woburn, I think. And I don't think it was a terribly big rally. Like, it was pouring rain that day, for one thing. But I don't know if he was already friends with them or if he decided he was going to be friends with them after they held a rally for him. But that seemed to be kind of when he entered onto the scene. And then, you know, since then he's shown interest in hanging out with them and is apparently co-organizing the Straight Pride Parade. Maybe they're hoping that the political connections, since he is a would-be Republican politician who held an actual nomination for, like, an actual fairly major office, however unlikely he was to win, like, maybe they're hoping that that'll lend some legitimacy to it. I mean, maybe he knows other politicians that they're hoping to bring in. I'm sort of speculating there. But yeah, he's the newest on the fash scene of, like, the lead organizers, I would say.
New on the fash scene, I like that. I was actually looking him up, reading a little bit about him beforehand, and I kept coming across these videos, and this guy, of him speaking to not a very big crowd, but when he was campaigning, and I gotta say, this guy is very obsessed with the fact that there are events at, like, libraries and schools where drag queens go and read children's stories to kids, which we've actually covered on this show, that there's been issues across the country with this very beautiful event where drag queens put together these nice events for kids at, like, the public library where they read them stories, and it's sounds like a great time to me. Sounds like a family fun event. And Republicans have a real problem with people, I guess, nurturing children and taking care of them and providing them with education and entertainment. Bizarre.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was one of those guys, but that makes sense.
Right, it's not like a shocking revelation whatsoever, is it? So there's this guy that keeps when I was reading through and Anti-Fash Gordon over on Twitter, he really broke this down real well, and I was speaking to him earlier, and he or she basically brought up this guy Mark Sahady, I believe his last name is.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah. Mark.
Now, who is this guy? Who is he? Because he seems like another, I don't know. I really don't know what else to call these guys other than, in the most sarcastic manner possible, winners.
Well, he's sort of been the animating force, such as it is, behind Resist Marxism. He's sort of been the consistent guy who not necessarily shows up to everything, but who, it seems a reasonable guess, he basically runs the page. A lot of the rhetoric is his. He's sort of the ideas guy. So he's somebody who very clearly wants to emulate Patriot Front and Chapman's.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Patriot Prayer. Sorry, not Patriot Front. He's just friendly with people in Patriot Front.
Right.
With Patriot Prayer and you know, Chapman and whoever else out west, there's photographs of him out in Portland wearing a helmet and an expression that one of my friends said resembled a toddler, very proud he had just pooped on the potty. So yeah, he's, you know, he's got a kind of a grievance politics, you know, the grievance politics of a sort of lummoxy right winger in Massachusetts. So dealing with the fact that the state has a large concentration of leftists and is generally sort of liberal makes him feel as though he's being downtrodden, and he wants to get everybody back for that. If I was that sort of seems to be the emotional basis of his politics.
Right. Now,
the thing with him is that he's sort of an interesting mix, because on one hand he frequently just comes off as a giant troll. Like, he's almost always got a smirk, and he definitely has a thing about LGBT issues, because last October there was a big trans youth rally at Government Center, and Resist Marxism showed up to try to disrupt it, and he was running the Resist Marxism group for that, and was, you know, just kind of like yelling stuff, trying to troll people. I think he was even saying stuff about, like, you all are NPCs, like, the most, like, stereotypical meme stuff possible. But, which also just sounds funny coming from him, because it's not like he's, you know, a 20-year-old gamer or anything.
Right.
But also, like...
Also, probably not the worst thing these kids have ever been called.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that they think that they're so, like, stuck in their little world that they think calling someone an NPC, and taking it a step further, calling them that in real life, like, offline. I mean, it's insane just how wrapped up in their little world they are, that they think the majority of people will even understand that that's... even understand what that means to begin with, and then also understand that it's some sort of diss.
Right. but then the other side to him is, like, Peter already mentioned that he went out to... that Haiti went out to Portland last year in June for... there was a big Proud Boys rally out there that... where, like... the Proud Boys got very, very violent and, like, put a bunch of people in the hospital. And one thing that I remember seeing on Twitter after the anti-fash Gordon thread that you mentioned earlier came out was a journalist, I think, from Portland, Shane Burley, replying to say that Sahady had participated in, like, group attacks on people, that he'd seen that. And then also, like, at something like this, this past winter's Boston Women's March, and I think this was in the anti-fash Gordon thread, Resist Marxism, you know, tried to crash the Boston Women's March, and, like, there's a video clip in that thread even of, like, Sahady grabbing somebody, like going on the attack physically. And in fact, you know, I remember him that day, like, bragging across a police line about, like, having pushed somebody. He was definitely getting, like, a little bit rough that day, and it can be easy to dismiss him because he's just such a big like troll, and he has this kind of smirky like clownish vibe, but he also has at sometimes like not even just been in charge of rallies where people got violent, but like he has like personally gotten violent a few times as well.
Right. So yeah, I'm looking at this the anti-fash Gordon Twitter thread, and he's got a lot of photos of Sahidi at really I keep a slew of different events, and he is right in line with the other, you know, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, with the helmets, the goggles, the weapon in hand a lot of times in some of these pictures. So yeah, he might. I think you're hitting it perfectly in terms of who this type of who he is. He may not seem like it because of how you described him, but he's just like. I mean, he just is like Kyle Chapman. I know how you guys mentioned it earlier that there's some infighting within these groups. Did Sahidi ever, like, was he ever given the reins to resist Marxism by Chapman, or is there some sort of feuding going on there? Being that Sahidi seems to have taken this group as his own now, is there any sort of drama going on between them here?
I mean, not that I know of. My impression is more just that Sahidi was the local guy, like the guy on the ground, because Chapman could only do so much from California, especially now that with the various legal woes that he's had over the last couple of years, it makes it hard for him to travel. Like, I don't think it would ever have been practical for him to be trying to, like, run day-to-day
right.
operations himself, especially given that part of their strategy throughout 2018 was just to have constant, like, rallies and disruptions of leftist events and things. Like, I don't think you could feasibly have somebody living like thousands of miles away trying to run like a thing per month or more, like on the ground that way. You need a local person to organize. So I don't know if there's drama between them, but I think it's more just a matter of like it never would have been feasible to have Chapman running day-to-day operations.
Right. I'm just interested. It's sort of like, I guess, I wonder why there hasn't been, brother or sister type straight pride parades popping up on the West Coast to sort of coincide with this one being planned. Like, why just Boston? I guess maybe it's only these random group of guys who think this is a good idea in Boston.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, they have incurred, even from people who you would normally think would be on their side, they've incurred a certain amount of criticism. Some of the libertarians who have come out on their side before have come out specifically against this, though there's some notable exceptions to that, too. And these websites, you know, your these sort of right-wing sports websites like Barstool have written derisively of it, the straight pride thing. I think it's just such a punchline that people are divided as to whether, even on the right, they're divided as to whether they should support it because, if nothing else, support it because so many other people, so many of their enemies are laughing at them and they kind of feel the need to back themselves up, or whether they just want to wash their hands of it.
Right. And you brought up the libertarians. Now, this is a name I came across. Samson Rasiopi?
Oh,
I think
yes,
it's for Choppy.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I'm sorry, Samson, for... if you're listening, buddy, my bad. So who is this guy?
I'm curious now how you came across his name, but he is another resist Marxism guy. He'd actually left for a few months this past winter, but seems to have come back again with this straight pride parade thing. He was a Libertarian Party candidate for Congress in one of the North Shore district, Seth Moulton's district, and he is on, I think, the board of one of the big weed legalization organizations in Massachusetts, if I remember correctly. But yeah, he was one of the kind of core Resist Marxism guys for a long time, and then left for a period of time, and then came back. And yeah, he is very, he very much, you know, tries to present himself as like a libertarian of a sort, but it, I mean, there, you know, there's different types of, there's different types of libertarians. And like with him, for instance, there was some rally recently where he was saying that like he liked Tulsi Gabbard for president, for instance, which is not necessarily what you would expect from just like a business interest type libertarian, but right. Like there are the more like paleo libertarian types.
All right, it's either Andrew Yang or Tulsi Gabbard usually, though. Of the two.
So yes, I mean, Samson has been a speaker at a lot of Resist Marxism rallies. He's been one of their key people, like back last August in the first Resist Marxism attempt to rally in Providence. Like, he got into it some, like, physically with people. So yeah, he's just another one who has been around a whole lot.
Right. I like how he came back just in time for the straight pride parade, where like as yeah. most people are distancing themselves from it seems, or most people on the right who would have a problem with this sort of thing. This guy thought, "Hey, this is a great time to pop my head back into this." Basically, I came across him, and he was mentioned in one or two of the articles I was reading on the people behind the parade. But while looking up who he was specifically, I came across, I think it might have been the most recent coverage of him prior to the straight pride parade stuff. And it's basically a guy was arrested for throwing horse shit at him at an event, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, I don't know if it was throwing horseshit at him. Somebody that this was at that one Providence rally, there was someone who was arrested for throwing horseshit, I think at a cop, and then there was somebody who was arrested for hitting Samson. So yeah, I think those were two separate people. But yeah, somebody did get.
Yeah, there was flying horseshit at Providence. I could attest to that much.
I do have to say, I have this quote from Samson. I'm only reading it not to set the record straight so much, but because it's really a great quote. "Me and the officers were all rained down with horse crap." That's what he told NBC 10 on August 8th, 2018. So before we go to the next person, you had mentioned Seth Moulton's district. So I just want to take a moment of silence for poor Seth Moulton, who will not be making it into the first Democratic debates.
Pull one out.
Out of 24 candidates, he's one of four who did not make it.
Woof.
Ugh, poor guy. Not really. Let's Chris Bartley. Now, this name is probably the most interesting one to me because he is being called the events. Now, excuse me, let me make it clear. He's being called the Straight Pride Parade's gay ambassador.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, that's quite a title. That is something.
Yep. Yeah.
Who is this guy?
So, yeah, Bartley, I mean, he's another kind of long-time, fairly key Resist Marxism person, although he was actually gone for a lot of last year because he was out, like, in some other state working on Republican campaigns. Like, he's more of an electoral guy, but, like, he... But certainly, like, before he had left town for a while, he was involved in things like in late 2017, there was this book reading. Mark Bray from Dartmouth read his like history of anti-fascism book, or he did a reading from it at the Harvard Coop, and there were a few guys who like tried to disrupt that and got thrown out, and one of them was actually Chris Hood, who's the leader of the neo-Nazi group Patriot Front in the Boston area, and another one of them was Chris Bartley, and I think he might have been at UMass at the time. UMass Boston, but I remember he used to claim that he was involved in like TPUSA, Turning Point USA, and I think for a while on his Twitter bio he was also claiming to be involved in anti-communist action, which was a group with a lot of like neo-Nazi type ties, like the journalism collective Unicorn Riot did like a big expose on anti-com. But yeah, so Bartley was involved in that stuff early on, and then he left town for a long period of time to do his like electoral thing, and then more recently he came back. He was at the 2019 Women's March. I think that was the first time he'd been around in a while. And apparently he's into this as well as their gay ambassador. But yeah, he's just another one who's been organizing with them for ages now.
I wonder.
Yeah, kind of a
oh no,
weird
go ahead.
Kind of a weird mishmash between the softer stuff in that he's, you know, does all this electoral work, but also hangs out with guys like Chris Hood, you know, anti-com, whatever. So that's a little bit strange.
Yeah, I do feel like the lines that were there, like, you know, there's certainly plenty of overlap in terms of those types and, you know, the far right extremists in terms of ideology and beliefs and you know, maybe not what they publicly show or publicly advocate for, but there was some sort of line between the two that at least if you pay attention to these types, it was pretty clear. And I feel like that line is being crossed and blurred, and there's a lot of overlap now, isn't there?
Yeah.
Now, I do wonder how many people he had to beat out to officially win the role of this event's gay ambassador. I'm sure there was a strong competition for that title. Now, is there any maybe Milo threw his hat in the ring? Who knew? But is there any sort of other names we should be aware of or that I might be missing out here in terms of people who we should be at least somewhat aware of in terms of Resist Marxism and this straight pride parade event?
So I can think of a few possibilities, but Peter, why don't you go first on this if you've got any?
Are you thinking about MR, or is that not confirmed enough?
I mean, they have a couple of people who have liked the Super Happy Fun America.
Why don't you go?
All right, sure. So yeah, what Peter was referencing was Mass Resistance, which is a, like, I mean, it's listed by the SPLC as an anti-LGBT hate group, and like, I feel like they were really big way back when the same-sex marriage debate was a big thing in Massachusetts, and the connection with them at this point is mostly just that they have a couple of people who, including a staffer from the West Coast, liking, you know, the Super Happy Fun America page, but like that does, you know, that does indicate that like they, this well-established like anti-LGBT hate group, are at least like paying attention to this idea of a straight pride parade in Boston, which I suppose is like not that surprising, because I think they're based in Waltham, even Mass Resistance is. And then there's some other people who have been at Resist Marxism stuff in the past, and who, you know, have kind of like liked the page, expressed the amount of interest required to hit like button and follow the Facebook page, and the fact that they already have those connections with the organizers may indicate that like there's some actual interest there, and that's like American Guard, particularly John Camden from American Guard, New Hampshire, and then also this a couple of guys from this 3%er militia group, the Patriot Saints, a few of those guys have followed the Facebook page. Like, whether that means they'll actually show up, you know, I don't know, but like Camden in particular has been a stalwart of Resist Marxism events, so it's like if this is their rebrand, it would make sense that like he would want to show up for like his friend's new thing.
I keep seeing people like sort of put this as like Resist Marxism's like rebrand, and I get why it's being described that way, because it's their sort of way of coming out as a new sort of identity here with a totally separate thing from what they were ever known as before. But it's also like, where do they go from there? Like, what are they, just a full-time straight pride organization now? Like, what is the play here? Like, a rebrand would be like, you know, to me it would be like, you know, I guess a true rebrand is something like what Identity Europa went through, where they had a brand new name that they could use more than once. Now, again, it's not a very successful rebrand because everyone knows who they are, but it's still a rebrand in terms of it has a longer shelf life than one event.
So I think the name Resist Marxism actually originally started as the name for like, you know, the coalition for one event, and then became a standing thing. But beyond that, I think the rebrand is this Super Happy Fun America page, like that's the name of there's a website named that and a Facebook page named that, and it's the Facebook page named that,
right,
that's hosting the Straight Pride Parade event. So it's like they can't reuse the Straight Pride Parade name for indefinite numbers of events, but they could use, as ridiculous as the name is, they could use the name Super Happy Fun America for however many events they felt like it was good for.
Right. Yeah, there's a certain carnival barker aspect to the leadership behind Resist Marxism, where I think they just throw shit against the wall and see what sticks, see what people respond to, what gets likes on their page. So if this happens, you know, this has gotten them a lot of attention, which is something that they like. Whether it's the right kind of attention or not remains to be seen. Whether it'll come off as a victory for them, we don't think it will. So there's a good chance that they might rebrand later, or who knows, maybe they'll stick with it. But I think it's entirely a matter of expedience for them.
Right. Super Happy Fun Time sounds like a, I don't know, a bad podcast network or an Adult Swim show or something. Like, I don't even.
Yeah.
But I guess that's.
Yeah, every time I say the name Super Happy Fun America, I just kind of wince at how, like, silly the name is.
Oh, right. It's Super Happy Fun America. I think I even called it something else. That's how. Too many words in a name. I mean, you gotta limit it to two, max three.
Yeah.
Now, just a few more questions before. Thanks for spending the time with me tonight. Really appreciate it. What has been? I mean, I know if you just have to log online to see what the reaction across the country and probably the world really was to this. That is a big joke. But how locally? How is it being? Being that it's going to actually affect people who are in Boston and the surrounding areas, how's the reaction been from people there?
It's sort of a combination of people thinking it's a joke, and but you do have a higher portion of people taking it more seriously because there's been experience with these groups. A lot of people remember August 2017. You know, which was a real blow to the alt-right nationally. I mean, it's basically before and after in terms of how often you get people describing themselves as alt-right, right? The label becomes a lot more toxic after that.
Right.
But we've got a few different sort of events on the horizon to as counters. You have some people are sort of mounting a kind of educational celebratory event, I think, that's aiming to be before the march. And what Kitty and I are involved in organizing is a counter to the march. And there's been a lot of positive response to that. People want to do something. If nothing else, it's just so ludicrous. And the whole thing relies on, you know, a lot of what Sahady in particular relies on is the idea that the people of this city are stupid and kind of cowardly. And I think people like to come out and prove him wrong when he makes that claim implicitly on a national stage.
Right, right. So how is the tell me more about the counter protest that that you two are involved in putting together.
Well, we can't say too much about how it'll look right now because it's still whiles away, and a lot of what we do is going to have to change based on what a number of other actors are doing. But what we've consistently done over the last almost 2 years now has been to nonviolently confront these far-right groups, Resist Marxism or Boston Free Speech or whoever else, and make it clear that we don't stand for the things that they stand for, that they're not going to be able to do what they want to do in public without resistance. Generally making our opinions of them known, and in general, I think we've been pretty successful in making them having to organize around us as opposed to organizing around actually advancing their goals.
Right.
Right. We can make a lot of noise when we want to, and, you know, sometimes even just like being able to just drown them out can be pretty effective when possible.
Right, absolutely. And when is this? I can't believe we didn't mention it up top. I don't think maybe you did actually, Kitty. But when is this event planned for? When are they putting together this straight pride parade, and then obviously the counter protest would be the same time?
I think they're shooting for August 31st. There's been mixed reports on where they're at in terms of getting a permit, in that they, I think, at first reported that they had gotten a permit, but recently there's been the city of Boston, I think, has been saying that they haven't given them a permit yet, which has led to reports that they've been denied a permit, which doesn't seem to be accurate. But long story short, it appears to be August 31.
Right. And August 31st is actually a smart one, too, because I don't think it's quite been determined yet whether August or September is officially going to be deemed Straight Pride Month. So I think having it right in the middle is sort of, I'm being a little bit stupid here, but
yeah. Well, that's one advantage for the day. A major, I don't know whether this is an advantage or a disadvantage from their point of view. From our point of view, it's just strange. The whole real estate market in Boston revolves around August 31st, right? Because it's so student driven.
Right.
So that's move-in day. You know, people, the traffic's horrendous. People gather around certain low overpasses just to see how many overpacked trucks and vans get wiped out, littering stuff all over the road. So it's a big old mess. And so I don't know whether that's featured in their planning or not. But yeah, it's weird.
Right. If normally I would say, oh, it's a good strategy. Have it on that day when all that stuff's going on. Make sure you have maximum exposure to people who are seeing this parade, and you're sort of creating you're creating a spectacle for people to watch. But then before, we talked about how they're not that smart and wouldn't consider that type of stuff. So it probably is just some big old coincidence.
Yeah, probably. And I don't know how big their parade is going to be to begin with. You know, they haven't been able to get as many people out as they could in 2017. So who knows how many people would see it in the first place.
Peter Berard and Kitty Pride of Boston DSA and organizers with the Solidarity Against Hate counter-protest to the Straight Pride Parade. Do either of you want to, plug anything, promote a website, a social media profile, anything you guys want to? Feel free.
I think the main thing would just be, for people who are local or who can make it out on that day, the counter-protest itself, which is hosted as an event page on the Solidarity Against Hate Boston Facebook page.
The name for it is Straight Pride is Hate Pride. So if you enter that into Facebook search, you ought to be able to find it.
Perfect. Thank you both for joining me tonight. Some of these names I had heard of, some of these names I've never heard of, and it really was illuminating. You two really... I think my listeners were brought to school tonight. I know I was. Take care. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Good night.
Bye. All right, folks. Let me just bloop, bloop. There goes the Skype. It's rare that I do a show on the far right and there's a single name that I'm unfamiliar with, let alone a bundle of names. And I there were some of those groups I had heard of, but the specific names I had not come across. And I think it's interesting to think about how there's these national far right figures who gain a sort of countrywide recognition from being in these groups, from doing something online that goes viral. You have Kyle Chapman's a perfect example. Bringing up someone we brought up on the show. There's a guy who was able to use the internet to become a sort of household name in the far right world. But then there's these other names who were known by local activists and are really just as influential in these cities and states as a Kyle Chapman is. But they just don't have that nationwide name recognition. And I think we should do more shows on those types. We should have more local activists like Peter and Kitty on this show to open up our knowledge of the far right as it is today when it comes to local figures in these groups. Because, A, they're clearly affecting the states and the cities that they live in. And then, B, they could be the next Kyle Chapman. All it takes is one stupid viral event. One invite on the Joe Rogan show. One, I don't know, one punch at a protest that brings them notoriety. And it was easily one of my favorite episodes of the show. At least in terms of me learning something. I learned something on every show because this show is very good. But especially this episode. Now, folks, this show is not possible. Doomed with Matt Binder is not going to happen if you don't support it. And there's a multitude of ways to support this show. And let's start with the most important, becoming a patron subscriber. I ask for $5 a month. You can give less. You can give more. Only give if you can. Please don't, if you can't afford to, don't do it. Go to patreon.com/MattBinder. Last episode, this worked in gaining a subscriber or two, so I'm going to do it again. If this show had, like, I don't know, 10 times the subscribers it has now, and you might be going, whoa, 10 times, but I tell you that the number of subscribers right now isn't that much. So 10 times of zero is not very much either. We have more than zero subscribers. If we had like 10 times the number of Patreon subscribers, I would put so much more content out there because I would be able to do so. As you all know, I have 2 children now, and time is of the essence. No, wait, that's not what I want to say. That doesn't make any sense. Time is money, as stupid as that sounds, as cliche as that sounds. And basically, if I'm able to build this show, I'm able to spend more time on this show. And that's what I really want to do. I want to be able to put out more content for you guys. If there was a Michael Brooks show level of subscribers on this show, I would be doing a daily show. If not daily, 4 days a week show. I think that's what Young Turks or some other shows do, right? I think Young Turks does 5 times a week, but a lot of shows do 4 times a week. I would do 4 times a week, 2 daily. I would do, well, this I would like to do earlier than that. In fact, I'd like to start at ASAP. I just got to find the time. Standalone short videos on like, you know, news hits, quick stories, you know, 2 to 5 minute long breakdowns, edited, produced YouTube videos, like the real fake news that I did when I was over at cafe.com. All that stuff would be able to happen if I had more Patreon subscribers. And if you could afford to do so, I would appreciate it immensely. Patreon.com/MattBinder. Second of all, if you already are a subscriber, if you cannot afford to subscribe, do not fret. You could support this show by leaving an iTunes review. Subscribe to the iTunes podcast so you get the show delivered to your phone or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also on Google Play. I promise you I will get on top of adding it to other networks. I got to get it on Spotify. I'll look up where else you guys want it, and I'll try to get it on there. Just leave a review on iTunes, the star review, a written review. It all really helps, sincerely. Third, you can support this show by subscribing to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/MattBinder. That, again, is free. It doesn't cost a thing. Click subscribe. Also, if you're already a subscriber, I hear this is the thing you have to do. Click the little notification bell so you get notified when a new video goes up, when the show goes live. What else? Yes, my new favorite thing I ask you all to do. Call into other shows. Tweet at other show hosts. Tell them, hey, have you heard of Doomed with Matt Binder? Tell them, hey, why haven't you had Doomed with Matt Binder? Well, you wouldn't have the show on as a guest. Say, why haven't you had Matt Binder of Doomed on the show as a guest? And if you want people on this show who you think would be great for this show, send me a message. Twitter DM me, email me, send a message to me on Discord. If you're a subscriber to the Patreon page, you're in the Discord channel. I am actually really, I've been considering it. I know I mentioned to you guys before. There's two things I'd like to do. One of them I'm going to try to do immediately, probably by the next show. I want to A, start a newsletter. That probably won't be the one by the next show. I will add you guys if you're a subscriber. I already have your email. If you don't want on it, you can just click on subscribe. Sorry, I think most of you would be cool with it because it's not going to be I'm not selling you anything in the newsletter. It's going to be a Substack type thing with articles and news stories and stuff like that. And then two, and this one I'm going to start is the one I'm going to start immediately. I'm really digging Telegram. I think it's pretty cool. I actually like it more than Discord. I like it because it feels like I'm in a text message, like a group text message with a bunch of people. And to me, that's much more appealing than Discord. I'm still going to use the Discord. I think they're two separate things. I think Telegram will be cool to have, like, you know, chats with everybody. But then Discord is better for sort of announcements and one-to-ones and sort of, I guess, Q&As and things like that. But Telegram, I like, is like I could just drop a story I come across in there and we could do like a big, like doomed only Twitter chat about it. That's what it feels like to me. So, well, I don't know. And whatever takes off, you know? I got tons of people telling me Facebook groups are where it's at now. But apparently, doesn't seem like many people who listen to the show have given me the thumbs up on them being on Facebook. So I don't know. We'll figure it out. Let's just try it all and see what sticks, see what you guys like best. And that's what we'll go with. But won't get rid of Discord because that's important because I like that it connects with Patreon and only my Patreon subscribers are in it. That's a different thing. So I just went on my little rant. And before I leave you, here are the people who make this show possible by subscribing on patreon.com/mattbinder. And those people are Abigail T, Adam Q, Alan B, Andrew H, Benji, Benji the Bun Whisperer. Nice, Benji, I like that. I don't know if I actually do like that, but I said I like it. So for this, for these purposes, I'll pretend I do. Bobby M, Brooke H, Champagne Kami, G, Christine H, Colin R, Dakota R, Dank Uger, Dave K, David Z, Dragon Slayer, Floaties, Froz K, Francis Z, FTW All Day, Greg D, Ian Curtis J, Jamison Test, Janelle A, Jasmine H, Jeff K, Jonathan B, Joseph R, Katie S, Kyle, Lisa D, Max W, User Me, Michael J, Michael M, Mr. Danks, Nicole A, Namdenet, Omid M, Romina O, Ryan Left His Best, Struggle Session, TM, Tamney G, Thaddeus A, Tina M, Tom G, Tom M, Trine E, Will P and Zarin. Last time someone in the chat said, what happened to Cena? Cena was great for a long time. It was a long time patron subscriber. Fortunately, people jump and hop off sometimes. But on this show, we thank even past patrons. Not on every show like we just did with these guys. But for this show, I'm going to thank Cena for being a supporter for as long as Cena was. And you're welcome back when you can. And if you never come back, that's cool too. Thank you for the support when you gave it. Look at this show. It was this love on Doomed. The show might be called Doomed, but you only get loved. That's not true. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore, to be honest. That was just really corny as it left my mouth, and I'm never doing that one again. All right, folks. If you're a member, stick around and you can hear the second half of the program. If not, goodbye. Thank you for listening. See you all next time on Doomed.